God, thanks so much for this time and getting into your Bible, God. We love you. We pray for an awesome study right now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so let's turn to 2 Timothy 3.
Who am I?
So what we're going to be doing is studying out the Word of God study.
Come on, bro.
And this is a cool study because it's what the Bible says about the Bible.
Yeah,
there you go.
Is that funny? I mean, a lot of people want to go to other places to find out about the Bible. Right. But not a lot of people go to the Bible to find out about the Bible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
And with this as the, obvious authority in life, because the person studying now believes in the Bible as the Word of God, we're going to jump in and to see what does the Bible say about the Bible.
Come on, bro.
Okay. So 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
So this Scripture is awesome.
Yes, it is.
First thing it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So, Pedro, what do you think that means? Well, Pedro's a guy. Sorry. Gerard, what do you think that means? And Gerard said, well, God-breathed, I have no idea. And I said, okay, well, don't worry about it. But God-breathed means it came out of God's mouth. And it's saying all Scripture. So this book that we're holding right here, this is from God.
Right.
All. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
And so after you know it's from God, then you say, well, I guess God got bored. I'm on the right book. What's the reason? Well, it even tells us the reason right afterwards. It says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. So all those different things mean different things. But it's not just a storybook. The Bible is supposed to be applied to our lives.
Come on.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So, when you open your Bible and you read your Bible, it's not just cool information you get to learn about 1500 BC in Mesopotamian area, Palestine.
Come on, bro.
It applies to you. That's what the Bible says about the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, amen?
Amen.
We're going to jump into that stuff. Okay, let's go to the next one. Hebrews 4.
Come on.
So usually after that, I will ask Pedro, you got anything you want to add? Sometimes Pedro will say something. Sometimes Pedro says, no, that's awesome. I say, okay, so Gerard, what do you think? Gerard says, that's really cool. I say, okay.
Awesome.
Okay, verse 12 and 13. Says, who's turn is it to read, by the way? Gerard.
Gerard.
Pedro is going to be next, okay? And I just read first. Okay. I'll have to test it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give accounts. So here's an awesome scripture too.
Yeah.
Talks about Word of God again. And this time it says the Word of God is what?
Living and active.
Living and active. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
What does that mean though? Have you ever thought the Word, the Bible is living? And it's active. That's intense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's confusing. It's living and active. What is it talking about? And so, Gerard, what do you think? The Bible, living and active, what is it? And he may say, well, I guess people are still practicing it today. So, yeah, yes and no. I mean, that's true. But what it means is that It's alive. It's not a dead book.
Yeah.
It's still relevant. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So today you don't see people walking around with the Iliad and Odyssey. You know, those are also books written like 700 BC, 600 BC. They're not saying, "Man, I'm just so fired up about my Iliad. This helps me so much. My Odyssey, this Odyssey is cranking. Every day I read the Odyssey." You know what I mean? But the Bible, on the other hand, is relevant. Is as much as it was relevant 2,000 years ago, guess how relevant it is today?
Even more.
Equally.
Come on.
Yep.
Equally relevant. As much as that writer addressed the needs of the people through the letter of that culture, in that time, in that era, the hearts of men never change. It's the same thing today. So the Word of God is living and active. Is that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the second thing he says is, right after verse 12, it says, sharper than any double-edged sword. So this is a cool one. It compares the Bible to a double-edged sword. Now, you rewind 2,000 years ago. Double-edged sword, sharpest tool they had. I mean, the double-edged sword was cutting-edge technology. Nice. No pun intended. But
come on, bro.
Today, well, first of all, a double-edged sword cuts, right?
Yeah.
But what today would be the most sharp instrument you would use for cutting on some kind of person?
Laser.
A lot of times people are going to be like, laser. Hey, man, laser doesn't work super well.
You good, Ellie?
But a scalpel, maybe as far as a cutting instrument that you hold in your hand, is probably the most simple.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Bible's a double-edged sword. The Bible cuts. The Bible, when it cuts, when you get cut, the Bible hurts.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It doesn't say it's a soft pillow. It says it's a cutting-edge sword.
Amen.
It's a scalpel.
Amen.
So what does this mean? Does this mean God enjoys to see us get hurt?
Yes.
No. It's kind of like if you go to the doctor's office. You walk in. Time to get your checkup.
Come on.
Doctor says, "Hey, Gerard, everything looks awesome. Cool. Hey, check this out. My hospital, they just got these brand new scalpels. These things are amazing." I'm like, "Okay, cool. I gotta ask you a favor. Can I try this out on you for like 20 seconds?
No. I don't think so.
Is that okay? Like, I just want to try it out. I enjoy using my scalpel. It's awesome.
Oh my thanks.
What would you do?
No.
You're like, "I'm out of here." This is like a scary movie right now. Why? Because for somebody to cut you, a doctor to cut with no purpose is scary.
Right.
But if you walk into that room and the doctor says, "Okay, Gerard, we got your test results back. We found there's some serious cancer that you have in your body. But if we go into surgery right now, we can get rid of all of it. What do you want to do?"
"Put me to sleep."
"Say, yes. Yeah, let's do it." And then the doctor says, "But hold on. We're going to have to do surgery." Would you say, "Oh, forget that. No way. I hate getting cuts." No, you'd say, "No, let's do this."
Yeah.
It's good to get cut right here.
Yeah. Come on.
So why is it good to get cut in this context? Because it's cutting out that cancer, but spiritually, what is God cutting out with the Bible?
The cancer.
He's cutting out the sin.
Yeah.
And it's good to get cut by the Bible because God is cutting that spiritual cancer out of your hearts.
Yeah.
So now I want to ask you, Gerard, we're going to do these studies. There might be, when you get close to the Word, some cutting, but are you willing to go through that? So that you can have God cut the sin out of your life.
Come on.
And Gerard says, "Yeah, I am. Let's do this." Amen. Awesome. Cool. So let's go to the next scripture then. 2 Peter.
Come on, bro.
I don't know if this one's going to be the cutting scripture yet, but sooner or later we're going to come across one that does cut.
Heck yeah.
Okay, verse 20. Whose turn is it to read?
Pedro.
Awesome. Okay, verse 20. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in a little man, but men spoke from God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit. Side note, before we jump into this, just for the class, are you guys following along with me hitting the points and all these things?
Yeah.
Okay. So see how I'm trying to make it really organic and really from my own heart. It's my conviction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just making these things up or really trying to do a good job of saying it. I believe these things with all my heart. But I also teach according to the first principle.
Amen.
Amen. So we can be solidified, unified.
Multiplied.
Amen. Okay.
Come on.
So, Gerard, first thing this scripture says, above all. So what does that mean? That means that this is super important for about 3 minutes. So above all what? You got to understand something. No prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. King James says it didn't come about by man's private interpretation. Is that intense?
Yeah.
So above all, you got to understand something super important. The Bible doesn't have a private interpretation.
Right.
That's right.
There's no, like, we all read it and it means something different for all of us, but hey, that's okay because there's a lot of interpretations.
Yeah.
There's no private interpretation. There's only one person who wrote the Bible, and that's God. Right afterwards it says, men spoke from God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is awesome. This book, guess how many people wrote it? About 40 people. 40 different authors. How many books?
66
books. So God used 40 different prophets to write out the Bible. And so it's kind of like, you know, a pen. Okay, I got a pen. So here's my pen. Now, this pen is awesome, right? Maybe some people like it. Maybe some people
I love it.
That pen.
That's a nice pen.
So, okay. So I'm writing.
Yeah.
And the things I write, I want to write them down now. It's getting written. And then let's say this pen dies. What am I going to do?
I'm just
going to go grab another pen right here. Right?
Okay.
And I'm going to start writing again. Ooh. But is this pen going to write a little bit different than my first pen?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
It is? Like, it's going to have a different handwriting.
And
it's going to add its own new words.
No. No.
Why not?
Because you're
the same writer.
Nice.
And so here we understand when we read the Bible, you have 40 different pens, prophets, that wrote the Bible. But when you read it from the beginning, the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelations, you see that it fits together as if it's one writer.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Why? Because God wrote it.
Amen.
And maybe one of the prophets died and God just said, okay, time to get another pen. Here's the thing that'll blow your mind. At some points, God was writing with 3 pens at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
God is awesome. But God wrote the Bible. And it says right here, men were carried along by his Holy Spirit as they wrote the Bible. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. Yeah.
So as we're reading all these things, we realize it's not man's interpretation. It was God that wrote it.
Amen. Amen,
brother. And so there's not multiple things God means. When you read it, God really means one thing. This is important because there's going to be people out there that say, well, I believe you're saved like this. Somebody else will say, well, I believe you're saved like this. Now, are they both right?
No.
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 Nope.
One of those people is wrong.
Yep.
Or both of them are wrong.
Really?
Right.
But there's no way two people who conflict with each other over the Bible are both right.
Right.
And that needs to give us some conviction to say, let's make sure we know what the Bible says.
Amen.
Go
ahead.
Come on, bro.
All right, John chapter 8. Side note, this is where the cutting begins in John.
Yep.
Woo!
Here you go.
Woo!
John
chapter
8. Gavel.
Check.
Okay.
John
8:31. Okay. John 8:31-32. Anybody know whose turn it is?
Yours.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mike Underhill.
Verse 31. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So,
cut me deep.
Jesus right here, it's interesting. Jesus is talking to people, the Jews who what?
Believe.
The Jews who
they had faith.
So they believe in him. And does Jesus say, hey, that's awesome. You believe.
No.
Let's go get more people to believe.
No.
He says, if you hold my teachings, you're really my disciples. So here, Jesus doesn't just think intellectual belief is enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just because the guy thinks his mind or in his heart he believes it emotionally. Here, Jesus says, okay, great, you believe. If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples.
Yeah.
So intellectual belief, not enough.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Just feeling good about God doesn't mean you're right with God.
No.
Yeah.
So here you see, what does it take to really be a disciple of Jesus? You gotta hold to his teachings.
Come on, bro.
That's what it takes.
Right.
Holding to his commands. Then what? Then you know the truth, you're set free. So that's point two. So I've already hit point one, point two.
Right.
Side note. Just so you guys know, intellectual belief's not enough, nor can we go by our feelings. You gotta hold to Jesus' teachings to be a disciple.
Come on.
Okay, so I'm hitting these points, but I'm explaining. But now, okay, so back to the study. So what this means, are there people who sincerely believe they're right with God?
Yes.
But does that mean they are?
No.
It's just like a football game, right?
Come on, bro.
You're at the football game. 85,000 people in the stands.
Come on, Raiders.
Come on, baby.
Kaepernick pulls back. Hail Mary in the end zone.
Oh.
The 49ers are fired up.
Yeah.
Crabtree actually catches it this time.
Wow.
And 85,000 people are fired up because this is the winning goal. And so everybody stands up. Thank you. I love the 49ers. I love SF. This is awesome. And they all sincerely believe it's good. But then the referees look and they see it wasn't. He's out of bounds.
Yes.
Now when the referees huddle, they say, but these people really believe it. Don't we need to consider that? And it's not just 10 people. We're talking 5,000 people believe that was a real touchdown. So, what do we do here? Have you ever seen a referee say, let's just give it to him?
No.
That's why everybody hates the referees.
Because
The referee says, no, we're standing up for the truth. No good. And what does everybody say to the referee? Truth.
Yeah.
Just because people really believe something doesn't mean they're right.
Right.
And just because a person is very sincere that they believe in Jesus and they're good to go doesn't mean that they are.
Come on, bro.
So what does this mean in the end? Religious people
can be wrong.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So amen for going and praying and sharing and having a prayer reach out session. That doesn't mean that you're right with God just because you do that.
Amen.
It takes holding to Jesus' teaching.
Come on, bro.
Following to know I'm really a disciple. Amen?
Amen.
And even as campus students, we got to be careful with these other religious groups to realize, they may be sincere and even emotional towards God, but that doesn't mean they're right with God.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Until they hold to the teachings of the Bible.
Amen.
And that's when they'll know the truth.
And then be set free.
Come on, bro. That's a little personal thing.
That's great.
But for us, what does that mean? That means we got a hold of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Matthew 15.
Come on, bro.
So that's a, Pedro, you want anything?
Nah.
And he says, I grew up religious, and I thought I was always good to go, until I sat down and started doing these Bible studies, and I was like, man, I got a long way to go right here.
Well,
say amen. And then Gerard, what do you think? Makes sense? Awesome. Okay, cool.
Right.
Awesome. Okay, cool. 1 through 9. Good. Chubb, who's Chubb's the truth right now? Okay, first one. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat!
What? What?
Jesus replied, so let's just break, let's just go through it like we should. Sometimes you can break it down right there, but we won't. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said on your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father and mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he's not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So here, this is intense. The Pharisees come and they have a very, very strict tradition they follow as Pharisees. They've written all these different rules. One of them is wash your hands, a very elaborate washing, ceremonial washing, before you eat, especially for a rabbi like Jesus claims to be right here in their eyes. So, they're with Jesus. Time to eat. The disciples didn't wash their hands. Probably Jesus didn't notice any of this. Let's go talk to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, guess what? Your disciples, they didn't even wash their hands. I'm thinking, probably, Jesus can say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let's go talk to him. And Jesus says, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? And then he talks about korban, which is what this tradition is called. Giving, instead of giving money to your parents to help them when they need it, you just give it to the temple and you don't got to worry about your parents anymore. Oh. And that's what we're talking about right here. And Jesus says, when you're so focused on your tradition that you no longer follow God's word, number one, second part of verse 6, you nullify the word of God. Is that intense?
Yeah.
That by being so enveloped and so legalistic about tradition, God's word becomes valueless. And then he says, you hypocrites. And a hypocrite acts one way, but then it's really something else. And Jesus is about to explain it. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So you look at these people who follow traditions. And do they say all the right things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they say, I love God?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fired up about their tradition.
Yeah.
And God says they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Because they say the right thing, but their hearts are far from God. Why? Because they put traditions above the word of God. Yeah. And what happens when you do that? Verse 9, they worship me. Woo!
Wow, come on.
Snap.
All that going to church, all those different traditions they grew up with, are all a waste.
Wow.
In the end, they're equally as bad as somebody who just never even did it. Why? Because they didn't follow the word of God. They follow traditions. So here, we got to make a decision. Traditions are not the way we worship God. We follow God's word and we follow the Bible. Amen? Okay, awesome. Alright, so from here, we keep going. I always get mixed up.
First Timothy.
It's always First Timothy. I always jump up to Acts 17 and then go to First Timothy.
well
played.
You did awesome.
Thank you. Okay, verse 16, guys.
Come on, Pedro.
All right, check this out. Whose turn is it to read?
Pedro.
Pedro's turn. Awesome. All right, verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Okay, cool scripture. It says, watch your life and doctrine closely, right? So, watch your life, meaning the way you live, what you do with your life on a daily basis, your activities, your doctrine, what the Bible commands you to do. But out of those two things, which one do you think is more important? Life.
It's got to be doctrine.
No. Wrong. Oh, man. There's a trick question. They're equal.
Yeah,
it gets you every time. But don't. So, hey, amen. They're equal. You got to watch them both equally. It's kind of like you're on a plane. Look at the plane and look out the side, and there's only one wing on the airplane.
Oh, no.
And pilot's like, all right, let's go, guys. And you're like rushing for the emergency door, like, I got to get out of here. We're all going to die. A plane with one wing doesn't fly. And same thing for us as disciples and following God's word. Watching your life, right? Making sure you're, I know everything I'm doing. I'm a good person. You guys with me right here?
Yeah.
Okay. But not watching what God commands you to do and not following the scriptures of the Bible means you're not saved.
Right.
Come on, bro. On the other hand, knowing what God commands, going to the right church, knowing all the right doctrine.
Yep.
But not doing it and saying, well, at least I know the right doctrine. And I go to the right church. Are you saved?
No.
Nope. You gotta do both. And what's so important about watching your life and doctrine? It says at the end, you'll save yourself and you'll save the people around you.
Yeah.
So it's not just about you getting to heaven, it's about the people around you getting to heaven too. Amen?
Amen, bro. Amen.
Okay, awesome. Now let's go to Acts 17.
Come
on,
bro.
10 to 12. And Aaron, whose turn is it to read?
Your turn.
Amen. Awesome. Okay, verse 10. Good job. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Okay, so does this scripture sound familiar at all?
Yeah.
We read it last study in the Seeking God study. And do you remember what the challenge was in that last study? Read your Bible every day. Right, awesome. Good. So how's it been going?
Great.
How's it been going reading the Bible? Good. I had one guy say, I don't have a Bible. And I said, okay, I got to get you a Bible.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm giving him his Bible lecture. That's awesome. That's perfect. But here, this is where you gotta start your discipling the person. Is this intense?
Yeah.
Here's where the discipling begins. You follow up. You read the scripture again. So remember this. Your challenge. What was your challenge? Read it every day. Have you been doing it? No, I haven't. Okay. Let's review Seeking God again.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Seeking God talks about you need to seek out with all your heart. That's knowing the Bible. Does that make sense? How do you feel about that? Do you agree with that? And the person says, yeah, I do. Amen. Well, let's make it happen and all. Today's a new day, but let's get some time in the Word today. Maybe on your own, practice it and have a plan for the moment. Cool?
Amen.
Okay, awesome. So then, the next thing we're going to look at, though, in the same scripture is why were they examining the scriptures every day? To see if what Paul said was true. So here's a religious leader, and these people had a noble heart, they're checking to see if what Paul said was true. They're checking what religious leaders say, if it's true or not.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
So, Gerard, don't just think, wow, Mike's a nice guy. This must be true.
Wow.
Now, I know it is true, just so you know.
Yep.
But I don't want you to put your hope and conviction in me and what I'm telling you. You need to understand a noble man gets it from the Bible. And if your conviction's in the Bible and my conviction's in the Bible, we're going to be solid and close in this stuff. But you need to get your conviction from here, not from me. Amen?
Amen.
You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Come on, bro.
All right, let's go to James chapter 1.
Come on,
bro.
Come on,
bro. Verse 22.
Come on, bro.
Okay. It says, do not be able to listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at it, at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do it, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay, cool. So this scripture compares the Bible to what?
A mirror.
A mirror. It says the Bible's like a mirror. And so if the Bible's like a mirror, then that means you got to look at it and it shows you who you are, right?
Yeah.
But it says when you read the Bible and you don't do what it says, it's like somebody who looks in a mirror and they see themselves and they know they're jacked up, but then they walk away and they forget what they look like.
Uh-oh.
And they're walking around all jacked up.
Come on.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
When you look in a mirror, what's the purpose?
To change
something.
Yeah.
When you read the Bible,
amen.
It's the same thing.
Right.
To change something. Yeah. Don't just listen and walk away unchanged.
Come on.
Really look into the Bible. And when you read it, see, right. What do I need to change about it? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool. Let's finish off with John 12. What do you
think? Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Awesome, bro.
6, 2, 5, 3, 4. 4, 9, 12. All right, verse
48.
It says, there's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. So here, you see something interesting. You see, number one, that it says there is a judge for us. What is the judge?
The word.
The word.
Right.
The very word which God spoke. The word of God. So, what will judge us on the last day? The word will judge us.
Come on, bro.
And so,
wow.
With this in mind, it's not whether God likes you. God loves you. It's not whether Jesus died for you or not. Absolutely he did. But that's not what gets you into heaven. It's the word of God. It's knowing it, being clear on it, being devoted to it, and making it your standard. Come on, brother. And so, here's your challenge, Gerard. What is going to be your standard in your life?
Awesome.
Will it be your emotions? Will it be people's thoughts about you? Your traditions will be your standard? Maybe it's your family and what your family thinks. Or are you going to make it the Bible?
Come on.
On the last day, all those things don't matter. The one thing is you got to have the Bible as your standard. So how do you feel? Do you want to make the Bible your standard, Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Awesome.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's pray. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. All right, let's pray.